Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together this morning. And thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken it to our mind and our hearts. Lord, that we may be able to hear, be able to receive, may be able to appropriate everything that you have done for us. Lord, that we may hear and understand. Because, Lord, we cannot receive anything that we do not understand. And we ask you, Lord, right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may quicken us in a way, Lord, that we may be able to receive, understand, appropriate, and be able, Lord, to put to work your word into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have been talking about the Helper who is here now. It's not something that we had to wait for. It's not that we had to be asking God for, because he has already given it to us. When Jesus went up to the Father, he released the Holy Spirit for the church to receive it. And now for us is the question of receiving him and be able to receive all the benefits that the Holy Spirit brings to us. And we saw many ways in which the Holy Spirit works in us. It does help us, you know, to enable us to deal with any situation comes our way. We have to realize that he is not far away, that he is in us if we have received him, and he's working in us to help us in whatever we are engaged to do. Part of our ability to receive that help is based on our faith. Everything that we receive from God is not because he poured it on us, is that we receive it by faith. Anything that we get, any benefit, any blessings, anything, always comes because we believe what he said. God made promises, very clear promises to us. And if we just understand the condition for the promises and understand what they mean and believe what they say, then automatically those promises are going to be manifested in our lives. This is the way God chose to work. It's not by our abilities, our works, our special deeds that we do. It's by what he has done and by us believing on what he said. He is faithful. God is faithful to his word. He's not faithful to our ideas or even our desires. He's faithful to our word. And when we believe what he said, he's going to fulfill what he said, because otherwise, if we cannot do that, if we will not do that, we cannot depend on him. God wants us to put our trust in him 100% so that we can receive 100% the promises that he made. The word says very clearly that the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say, as many preach, that the God promises of God is yes, maybe no, maybe something, you know, if I feel like it. God is not working that way. God is a reliable God. God does not change. If he said something, that's what he is going to do. The one that changes or has to change is us. So I'm going to, you know, not go into all the different things that God, you know, the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us, empowers us, you know, he directs us. He just is there to comfort us. He's bringing us to the truth. All those things come there from, but, you know, all those things come by us believing what he said he would do. So in James chapter 1, very clearly say, you know, you need wisdom. Whatever situation, you know, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to know what to do in your situation. And what is wisdom? Is the ability to actually be able to perform and to get the results that should be happening to you according to the promises of God. And it says there in pretty clearly in James that if you need wisdom, you ask God and you believe it. You believe that you receive and then you act on what you receive. And he's going to manifest that. But if you have doubting, if you are wavering, then you're going to be confused. You're going to get nothing. Okay, so we are going to go into one aspect of receiving from God. Okay. And if you, and this is probably the most important thing. Let's go back to a moment to James chapter 1. In verse 21 says, therefore, lay aside any filthiness or overflow. That means the abundance of doing the wrong thing of wickedness. And receive with meekness the implanted word. The word receive there is important to understand that it's difficult from, you know, in English there is only one word receive and we mean it different things. In Greek, if you go to the original Greek, you have two different words generally. And I generally stress the other word, which is lambano. Lambano, when they say, you know, for example, you receive healing, you know, there is appropriation of the gifts of God, appropriation of the promises of God involves you actively taking them by faith. The word there is used is lambano. Okay, well, actually, it's translated receiving in English. What we hear is that word that is in Greek is not lambano, it's dekomai, which actually has a different meaning. It's still receiving, but it's receiving in a passive way, not in an active way. It's something that is given to you and then you have to accept. It's a very different position that you have to take. You see, the thing we want, God expects us to go and take them. But something that he wants, that we often don't want, are things that we have to receive in a way that is passive. I mean, we have to accept the fact that God says, do this, even if we don't feel like it. Are you following me? See, in English, you cannot have that meaning of the word. So, you know, you just read the same thing. It seems it's the same thing. It's not. It's important to go back to the original so to be able to understand and appreciate the difference that is meant for these two different words. Are you following me? Okay. So receive with meekness. You see that, you know, the meekness comes, you know, is an expansion so that you actually understand your attitude is not the one of going to take what God's promised. But it's a question of, okay, I'm going to do it. I receive it. I take it. It's like somebody coming to you and correcting you, and you receive the correction. Are you following that? Okay. So, with meekness, the implanting word, and to be able to save your soul. You see, the idea of saving your soul, the idea of being transformed and changed, is the fact that you are accepting God's direction in your life, and you are yielding to that. So that is where we come in contact with his giving to us the things that we need to have victory in our life. Okay. Now, it doesn't stop there. Continuing the verses there, you know, generally people read the Bible by verse. First of all, there were no verses when that was written. Okay, so by itself, I mean, that was maybe good in terms of finding things, but it's not really good in terms of interpreting what they say. Because generally, when we see a verse separated into two parts of the sentence, we take the two things apart and we think that they're not connected. You know, that was a letter written, and see, so each thought comes after the other, and everything is logically connected. So it doesn't stop there. Of what I said, it continues and says, for anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. See, what does a mirror do? Reflect what? If you go in the front of there, what does it reflect? Your image. Now, it's interesting that here the word used is a mirror and he's not talking about a portrait. What's the difference between a mirror and a portrait? So, if you have a mirror here, and you go to the front of the mirror, what do you see? You see yourself. Okay. If you go in front of a portrait, what do you see? The image that is there. Okay? So, generally, the way this scripture is interpreted is more of a portrait than a picture, than a mirror. Because what they think is that reflects Jesus. Because the mirror actually reflects Jesus, but doesn't reflect Jesus, reflects you. See, it reflects what you should look like. When there is an implication here. You see what I'm getting to? You see yourself and you see the way. Remember, it's not the actual mirror, it's the word. The word describes what you should look like. All right? You go and look inside and you see what you should look like, but actually it's a mirror, it's not an image. This is what you are actually like. But you have to, in your spirit, not necessarily in your mind. You have to see yourself the way the image come up on the mirror. That means in the Word. Pardon me? Just think about it. You ask for the revelation of the Holy Spirit because you need it. We need it. You see, the idea is this. When we are going to read the following verses, you are going to see what I mean. You see, because for he, I'm going to continue here. For he observed himself. You can see the word describes what you should look like. And here he's saying, and he observed what? Jesus? No, it says himself. And this is in the mirror. So it's not a portrait of Jesus the way it's you, the way you are, according to God. You see what you should look like, what your spirit actually is, but actually your mind has a real problem with that because doesn't think that way. You see, your mind is trained to think about and looking at yourself with your shortcoming, with your difficulties, with your inabilities, with your lack of faith, with all the problems that you have, with all your experiences. And you see yourself the way you see yourself instead of seeing what the mirrors show. Are you starting to catch up what I'm saying? You see, we had to change the way we think. And this is why we are called in Romans chapter 12 to just that we had to not conform to the world, but we had to transform ourselves by the renewing of our mind. Because when our mind is not renewed, what happens is that we are going to see ourselves the way we see ourselves instead of looking at the mirror. What we had to do, spend the time in, is looking at the mirror. We have to keep looking at the mirror until that image gets implanted inside us and we start agreeing with it. And this is the transformation that takes place. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. You see, that makes sense what he's saying here. You know, and he observes himself and goes away. Observe himself. Just that's the key word there. Himself. And goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Do you see how it makes sense? Do you see the importance of making that difference that I was mentioning before? Forget what he looks like. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, this, our identity is what there is a difference between what we are in Christ Jesus and what actually we see ourselves. And the way we are going to act and do is the way we see ourselves, because that's the way our mind controls our actions, control our emotions, control our things. Until we have changed inside the way our mind works, we are going to keep doing the wrong thing and fighting against these things. When instead of looking at ourselves, we should stop looking at the Word and only looking at the Word. And looking at the Word, our mind is going to change, and our mind is going to change, our behavior is going to light up with the Word. Praise the Lord. See, but says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. What is the perfect law of liberty? It's the Word. See, you look at the Word and continues in it and do not forget, but it's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, he will be blessed in what he does. You see, the blessings comes as a result of us keeping our eyes on the Word, keeping our eyes the way God says we should be, and continuing to look there until our mind is going to agree with that. Instead of looking at our shortcomings, because our mind, see, as we have to be reprogramming ourselves. That's what has to happen. You see, we are wrongly programmed by the world. We have to reprogram ourselves according to the Word. And when the Word is going to be programmed ourselves, what it says here? That we are going to be blessed in everything we do. Now, who in his sane mind will not to do that? If you know for a promise that you're going to be doing well in everything you do. Even if you are selfish, you are going to do that. But you end up overcoming even your selfishness by doing this, going through this process. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this is such an important concept. The Word reflects a born-again believer for who is, what a person is, what you have and what you can do in Christ. So those things are God's will for you to implement in your life. And you're going to do it not by your effort, not because of just praying and saying, God, do it. That's what most people do. Oh, God, please, you know, change my heart. This is Old Testament idea. The New Testament idea is that we change our heart by following and allowing the Word of God to change the way we think. Praise the Lord. See, this is where the difference comes. That's the scripture I was mentioning before. Romans 12, verse 1 says, beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, you know, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You see, your body is not to do whatever you want to do. This is what the sacrifice is to God. Your body has to do what God wants him to do. And as you offer him as a sacrifice, See, you give up the prerogative of doing the things your way, and you start doing things His way. You see, that's where the blessings come. Lots of people think, you know, God is going to take away all the fun out of my life. And this is just the opposite of what the Word says. See, that's where the blessings come. That's where the success comes. That's where we end up being able to prosper with the Lord. Hallelujah. And it says, to be not conformed to the world, this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the conformation means, you know, really the fact that the world around you, and this is what it does, you are put into a form by the world around you, putting some expectations and putting some ideas and values and trying to impose them on you. And this is the thing that you consciously have to come against and to substitute with the Word. It's not by your effort. It's by the power that is in the Word of God that works in your life, that enables you to do things that are beyond your human capacity. See, a born-again believer is not a normal human being. You are a child of God. You have given capacity and abilities that are beyond human beings. Paul said himself, you know, you are not just a mere human. But you had to start agreeing with him. Yet, you know, the only way to receive things from God is by faith. You have to start believing that. If you believe that, it's going to be manifested sooner or later. I mean, there may be things, depending on where you are today, there may be things that you are struggling with. But if you give him a chance and you start acting in faith, you see, faith is where we get delivered from the bondage of the world. And faith is simply believing God, believing in what he promised, believing in his word, allowing his word to take predominance. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's the attitude a born-again believer should have. It's not according to your reasoning, it's not according to your own efforts. Actually, transformation by the Word of God is effortless only to the extent that you had to, you know, let God do it. But you had to be aware. You had to be immersed. You had to be, you know, it's like by osmosis. You are just immersed in the world, in the Word, and the Word seeps inside you and changes from the inside out. What the Word tries to do, the world tries to make you different from the outside in. It doesn't work. Hallelujah. Well, we're just running out of time. Too bad. You get anything out today? Praise the Lord. You know, the Word of God is powerful. It can separate the things of the Spirit from the things of the flesh. And you had to receive it in a spiritual way, not in a physical way. When you do that, then it's going to have an effect on you, and it's going to start changing and transforming you. This is why meditating on the Word is the way to break through, but it's not the only thing that has to happen. First, you have to receive the revelation and understanding in your heart, so that you can take it and appropriate it and understand it and really see through the layers of things. And after that, you have to start appropriating by confessing it. It's by the mouth the salvation comes to us. There is no other way. You are saved when you confess Jesus is your Lord. And when the confession corresponds to your actual heart position. It's not a question of a magic formula. is your beliefs and your attitude lines up with what you say. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word to be empowered and transformed. To, Lord, allow the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, to bring about the changes. You bring us the understanding. Bring us, Lord, the ability to see, perceive, and apply the things that you say, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, so that we may not deceive ourselves. Lord, the enemy doesn't deceive us. We deceive ourselves when we do not do the word, because we believe our own ideas instead of believing your truth. And so we come to you, Lord, and ask you, Lord, that you just enable us to be open. Open to the Holy Spirit, open to the world, willing, Lord, to listen and not to have itchy ears, to be able, Lord, to appropriate all the things that you have made possible and are available to us today. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.